Isn't it fun? I think Alleluia Nyolua is really great fun. And it really fits what I want to talk about this morning, because I want to go back to St. Paul, and I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Welcome to St. Paul, the ancient influencer. Yes, get ready, go. Present your body. How occurrent could that be? Let's see, how many likes do you think St. Paul would get? And with the heat, bodies seem to be presented all over the place. Have you noticed? Although I actually do believe that people have the right to dress however they want to dress, I must confess that sometimes skin tight coupled with flopsy mopsy have gone a little over the top for my taste. Cyril, my partner, is a little bit less discreet than me, so he is known to say quite loudly sometimes, "Kellerer." But St. Paul was not writing about those kinds of presentation. But the body was central for him. He could have just said, "Present yourself." No body needed. But he makes sure that our bodies matter. Your body and my body. For much of the history of the church, the body was suspect, merely a feeble carrier for the soul. After all, the desires of the body were what got us into trouble. Bodies were the source and object of lust and power, corruption and decay. The soul was considered important because it was immortal. And for a long time, many Christians found courage with this understanding. Evil powers could kill the body, but they could not kill the soul. But that understanding leaves out St. Paul. St. Paul insists we know who we are by our bodies. And I think it was really right that we started today's service giving thanks for something we so often take for granted. How long has it been since you have given thanks for your body? Moving from its pains and inadequacies to actually being grateful for the daily magic it manages. And one image of the hospitality of our church is the collection of bodies assembled here. All shapes, yeah, we're quite all shapes and sizes. And some are muscled and some are flabby and some need a stick and some need to leap in order to get up into the chair. But when God gathers us, we present our bodies. The phrase keeps going. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And sacrifice is not a common word for our times. And Paul's reference is even further back. It was to worship in temples where animals were offered to God. Sort of think grilled lamb and turtle doves. The smoke becoming a sweet smell for the Lord. Usually in the temple, whatever was sacrificed ended up dead. But Paul doesn't, he improves on that. He says we are called to be living sacrifices. The offering is to be ongoing. The question for Paul is not, what kind of body do we have? But what are we doing with it? I might rephrase that. With your body, how is your living giving? And within this call, I find a bountiful grace, because by the mercies of God, we are freed from all the judgment contemporary society imposes. For many of us, when reading Paul, we sort of read him as a grumpy old professor, constantly scolding the churches he started. And in fact, for many of us, we have this view of the Bible as some old rule book to make us feel guilty and shamed. But as I have gotten older, my understanding of Paul has changed too. What if Paul is not a lecturing, finger-pointing teacher, but rather a grinning grandpa trying to urge his readers to where they might find life? Before, I might have read this verse more like, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." But maybe Paul is more, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind." I don't think I have the capacity to make this sentence as gracious and inviting as I hear it in my head. But what a gift not to have to follow the judgments of our day. What a grace that my mind doesn't have to stay stuck. I can look forward to new ideas, new creativity, as I confront the challenges ahead. By the mercies of God, we can be free from all those expectations imposed upon us. If our bodies are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, then we are not constantly checking where we fall on some scale, intelligence, wealth, beauty. Maybe there is nothing more liberating than not having to be conformed to this world. I wish I could say to every teenage girl, "You don't have to look like those on social media, and your worth is not dependent on how many likes your photo gets on Instagram." It's fine to look fabulous, but if you spend all your energy on that, then the appraisal of others probably carries too much weight in your life. By the mercies of God, we do not need to be trapped in the measures that vault the few and punish the many. By the mercies of God, we are not a mass of subpar bodies. In Christ, we become some bodies. Our bodies are not for proving something. They are for giving. On Tuesday, I visited Lucy de Siebenthal in the hospital. She had just finished supper and had ordered some extra hot water and hot milk. And we were talking away, or to be more accurate, she was talking away, when a man full of tattoos arrived with this little pitcher that hospitals use. And he heard us speak in English, so he shifted to English. And then he offered the pitcher with a smile that announced in bold italics, "This may only be a pitcher of hot water, but I am happy to be bringing it to you." And his smile vested his whole body in radiance, a little bit rare in a hospital when there are too many demands for pitchers. But he had forgotten the milk. So when he left, I asked Lucy if she had noticed his smile, and she had. And when he returned with the milk, he put it on her tray as if he were bowing to a princess. I have no idea of his beliefs, but for a moment he confounded expectations and presented his body as a living sacrifice. And for a moment, Lucy felt incredibly honored. Our times are overly occupied with health, as if the primary goal of life were to eat broccoli and get one's heart going. And there is nothing wrong with all that, but that goal is too small for St. Paul, who urges us to discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that is so much more expansive than living longer and better. We aim for what God wishes for us. To have a perfect nose or sculpted torso is too tiny in comparison to the wonder of being the person, the body, God intended us to be when we were created in the image of God. The mercy of God is much more gracious than some stranger on a screen telling us what we should do and how we should be. When our living becomes more giving, all those measurements fall away. With a quick thump, Paul dumps all our striving where it belongs. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So end of all that stuff. And then Paul shifts to another body, the body of Christ. Because our bodies are connected, are members of this larger body. Paul knew that few could follow Christ on their own. We need each other, even if sometimes we get annoyed with one another. And I keep saying, the biggest gift you offer to church is presenting your body week after week here in worship together. You might be the person who this week makes a stranger feel at home. You might have the words of support that are exactly right for someone else today. You might give the needed boost. In the weekly caring for one another, in our worship together, we discover again and again that in this community, Christ is present. We become his body week upon week. Being together can be a burden sometimes, but is often also a great joy. We are members of the body of Christ with big ears, lopsided bums, crooked teeth, an upper lip bruised by the razor, and we all belong. Contemporary commentators spend much time bemoaning the loss of community, and they keep searching for solutions, and I keep wanting to yell out, "Go to church!" Because this is what community looks like. And not one closed in upon itself, but searching together how not to be conformed into this world, how together we find our minds transformed by the love of Jesus. We need each other, or we are lost. Because the world keeps on insisting, buy, 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 have, enjoy, 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 win, win, win. And we have only an hour, well, okay, sometimes an hour and a half, to be reminded of the centrality of love, which is the absolute rock of any life worth the living. We have this short moment to remember the rocks from which we are hewn. That rocky line going all the way back to Peter and Abraham and Sarah. And this line is not occupied with pumped up pride or predatory victory, because we are hewed to the rock that goes back to the crucified one, who is called God's Son, the suffering, serving one, the Christ who is raised up. The rock from which we are hewn is not a story of every person for himself or herself. We are together as a body, by the mercies of God, so that everybody knows their body is a temple of God's Spirit, worthy of love. So, people of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, rejoicing in the mercies of God, built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Amen.